You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and today we start on college campuses. Families across the Commonwealth are frantically meeting. They're meeting for college application deadlines. They're applying for scholarships, for loans, for grants, and they're filling out the federal financial aid form called FAFSA. Now, college is expensive, and it's getting more so. And this year, a group of college faculty and students teamed up across the state to look at one reason why, and that is the debt that campuses themselves take on. Universities borrow to build, to expand, and improve. And if you're headed to college next fall, some of that debt repayment will wind up in your student fees. Richard Levy is Salem State University Professor Emeritus and co-author of the Campus Debt Reveal Report. And Gayathri Raja is a junior at the University of Massachusetts Lowell and helped coordinate the campus debt research effort across the state. Rich, thanks for being here in Studio 2.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
And Gayathri, welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you. So, Rich, you estimate that campus debt fees increase student loan debt by about 25%. Is that right?
Correct. Generally, it increases student loans by 25%. On the average, a student in Massachusetts public education pays $2,500 per year just for campus debt.
So pays in their fees, on average, according to your calculations.
Correct.
$2,500 of the fees they pay to the university is really servicing a public college or university's debt, according
Correct.
To your calculations.
And that's a bimodal thing. In other words, students in the dorms pay a lot more than that average. Students at home pay, not living in the dorms, pay considerably less than that average.
So then what you're saying as well, Rich, if I understand it, is that those fees are broken up for students. Some go into the sort of standard tuition and fees bucket, right, which might be for a public college or university around $16,000, $17,000 this year. And some of it goes into a bucket that's room and board and that kind of thing, fees that are associated
Correct.
With living expenses. All right, so let me bring Gayathri in here. When you saw, when the report concluded with those numbers, as a student, did that surprise you? Did you think, yeah, no, that tracks? How did you react as a student?
I would say as a student, I was very surprised. Before this project, I was under the impression that my tuition went towards like books and curriculums and teachers, and that my dorm fees went towards like the building maintenance. I really had no clue that campuses were in so much debt and that my money was going straight towards that. And especially seeing the proportions after our debt reveal, that was incredibly surprising and concerning.
So, Rich, why did you decide to do this project?
We decided because when COVID hit at Salem State, we were told that we had a massive deficit and we were facing 5 weeks of furloughs for everybody on campus, a loss of 25% of our adjunct faculty, and we wanted to look into that and see what was the cause. And we found the biggest deficit we had was our debt service, which is 10% of our budget. And if that were addressed, that would resolve most of these other conflicts. It wasn't excessive faculty, it wasn't excessive service personnel, but it was debt. And what's happening is students are paying in. That debt then gets paid out through bonds to investors and to Wall Street firms that manage this. So the students are both paying first for their own loans, and then they're paying for the campus loans. And what this amounts to is, in fact, a tax on students. It's a tax that's called tuition and fees. So while up until the Fair Share Amendment, the tax system and the tax cuts have been preferential to those at the upper end, it's not that the tax costs have disappeared. They've been transferred down to students.
Okay, so there's a whole bunch in that. And I just want to note, we're talking with Rich Levy, who is a professor emeritus at Salem State University, and Gayathri Raja, who's a UMass Lowell junior, about a campus debt reveal report that looked at the extent to which campus borrowing, especially in public universities and colleges, leads to increased debt for students who are paying off the college debt. So a couple of things. First, you mentioned the Fair Share Amendment. That was question one in the ballot measures, which allows for a 4% additional levy for people who earn over $1 million in a given year, directed towards education and transportation. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you're hinting at something here, and Gayathri, I'll bring you in on this as well. That is the reduction in funding that the state has provided to public colleges and universities. Was that something that came up in the report, Gayathri?
Yeah, so that was something that we definitely looked at, the amount that funding has changed over the years and how that placed the burden on colleges to finance their own buildings and maintenance work and things like that, and how that in turn increased the campus debt exponentially.
So, and I want to read a statement that we received from John Keenan, who is president of Salem State, where you're an emeritus, Rich. Also the chair of the Massachusetts Council of Presidents. The Massachusetts Council of Presidents agrees with the need for greater investment in public higher education in the Commonwealth, and we are advocating for it. The Campus Debt Reveal does a deep dive into one piece of the larger financial picture on our campuses, and it has contributed to conversations about our shared goal of continuing to offer high-quality, affordable education to the regions we serve, end quote. So, Rich, I'll turn back to you here for just a moment. You got to borrow to build. So is your problem that campuses borrow at all or the way that the debt's getting repaid?
The problem is historically, the state would fund a much higher proportion, if not all, of the construction. And since the 60s, as state funding for public higher ed has declined, first dormitories became the individual responsibility of campuses and now academic buildings as well. So it's the fact that cutbacks in funding, as you mentioned, have led to shortages, which that's the cause of the borrowing. And then there are two ways to borrow. You can borrow through general obligation bonds, which is the state is borrowing and everybody in the state is contributing to that as a public good.
Because we're all in it together.
Right. Or you can borrow by revenue bonds, in which case the revenue from the students, not from the state as a whole, is what pays back the bonds. And in those bonds, the Mass State College Building Authority for the state colleges sets the dorm rates. The college does not, and they are set to guarantee adequate payment. If there is not adequate payment, the bondholders are able to intercept the state appropriation. They get first call on the state appropriation before it's used.
On the money.
Before it's used for educational purposes.
All right. So in our last 30 seconds or so, Gayathri, now that this report's out there, what do you hope it will accomplish? 30 seconds.
I'm hoping that it'll bring awareness to the issue overall, and that colleges will try to find, I guess that states will try to fund higher proportions of higher education buildings. I also hope that students bring more attention to the issue, faculty are more attuned to what's happening here, and just that the campus debt as a whole is not something that's ignored and pushed under the rug, because I think that if people were aware of the issue, a lot more change would be happening and a lot more would be done to address it.
All right. Gayathri Raja is UMass Lowell Jr. and part of the Campus Debt Reveal State Coordination Team. Rich Levy is a Salem State University Professor Emeritus and one of the co-authors on the report. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's college application time and scholarship application time and financial aid application time. You get the point. We have had a conversation on the show today about one factor driving the affordability or lack thereof of college tuition and fees for students. It is the debt that campuses themselves take on. They borrow, and to some extent, students pay, especially in public institutions where the state itself is paying less and less. Now, earlier we spoke with two of the authors and coordinators of the Campus Debt Reveal report that came out earlier this year. The report found that on average, students at Massachusetts State's colleges and universities pay over $2,500 in annual fees for their university's building debt. Now, joining us to react to that report, Dale Hamill. He is the Executive Vice President of the Division of Administration, Finance, and Information Technology at Framingham State University, has spent a good deal of his career in university finance. Dale, thanks for being here in Studio 2.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
So the Campus Debt Reveal Project raised significant concerns about students paying for borrowing that public universities do. In a nutshell, is it right that universities borrow and students pay?
We certainly support the conversation about funding for public higher education and its impact on student costs. We see the use of debt as a tool, as one mechanism to provide the programs and services that our students are looking for and demand. It is accurate over time that funding has decreased specifically for some certain capital projects. In the most recent years, we've seen more funding coming to the colleges for capital adaptation and renewal, basically deferred maintenance.
All right.
But in terms of debt, we have a policy where 25% of academic facilities has required campus contribution.
Okay, so let's break this down in a way that somebody who for whom finance is not a part of their language will sort of get and embrace this, because I imagine there are some parents and young people listening right now who are like, well, wait a minute, what is this going to mean for me on campus next year, right? So first, part of what you're saying is a capital project is I'm going to build a building or some piece of infrastructure that's going to stick around for a while. And you're saying it's pretty normal, pretty standard for a big organization, whether it's a college or university or elsewhere, to borrow money to do that versus paying it all up front out of the cash they have. Am I understanding that correctly?
Either the cash they have or total funding from the Commonwealth in the case of a public university.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's the second piece. And Rich Levy, who was the professor who co-authored the report, said to us in the previous part of this conversation, the state is paying less, and therefore the cost of paying for buildings and maintenance and that kind of thing is moving to students. I felt like I heard two things from you in your first answer, that they're sort of paying less, but lately it's gotten better, but not enough better. I mean, can you clarify that in basic ways for
me? Yeah, maybe illustration is good. We recently built an $85 million science building.
At Framingham State.
At Framingham State. $65 million came from an authorization from the Commonwealth. So he was talking about general funds. Those are paid off from the general funds of the Commonwealth.
So the Commonwealth said, we're going to cover $65 million of this $85
million. Yeah, we received an additional $6 million from other state agencies, predominantly Mass Life Sciences.
So $71 million, at least $14 million.
Correct.
Okay.
We borrowed against that, and in fact, students pay over time because it's a 25-year debt issuance. So students are, in fact, paying for it. And the argument there is it's both a public good and a private good. You know, what we're getting out of it is a new science, state-of-the-art science facility that is benefiting the students. Part of that cost coverage is coming from students for that addition, and the majority of it is coming from the Commonwealth. Obviously, we would like to see more coming from the Commonwealth because it directly relates to the impact on student fees.
So to be really clear, on a $14 million borrow for an $85 million building, students are going to pay for that $14 million of debt over time in student fees. Do they know? Is it clear in, like, you know, I just paid a tuition check for, I have a student at Boston University, right?
Yep.
I don't remember building debt being something that was broken out in her fees.
Yeah, I think many people would be surprised. I mean, what you have to take into context as well is we are provided a large subsidy from the Commonwealth to the tune of $50 million a year. That equates to $25,000 per full-time day undergraduate students. We choose to spend that state funding to cover personnel, but there's no reason, you know, there's all a compilation of expenditures and then various revenues that come in. So to say this certain pot of funds goes to cover debt, it isn't quite that clear cut, but there certainly is an impact of borrowing on student costs.
So is the report, the Campus Debt Reveal report, that says students pay $2,500 a year in fees for their university's building debt on average, is that number correct?
As also tried to, he tried to explain, was a portion of that is
this
for...
This is Professor Emeritus Levy.
A portion of that is for auxiliary enterprises, things like dining and residence halls. Those are, in fact, paid by user fees because you basically don't want to charge others that aren't using it. The academic fee or academic capital expenses are for everybody, and everybody gets charged for that because it's a benefit to the individual.
So to be clear, in this $14 million, right? If a student's paying $2,500 in fees that going towards, and we're doing a little bit at Apple, but for argument's sake, what you're saying is, okay, but if it was to build a dorm, then only the people who are living there and eating there are paying that in their fees.
Yep.
If it was to build an academic building, all the students, whether I'm a science major or not, I'm paying in my fees for the Science Center, and I probably can't see what they are.
That's correct. And to let you know, most campuses have a debt policy. In our case, we have a cap of 5% of operations can go to debt service. The Commonwealth uses the same type of governor on spending. They have an 8% debt burden cap that they put on annual spending on capital. So there's a governor on spending. And in fact, by having a portion of it, this is the argument for the 25% match, having a portion of it have to come from the institutions, there's a better recognition of designing a building that meets needs and maybe not wants. You know, everybody wants everything, and this is a governor on that exercise.
So governor not being Baker in this case, governor being a cap, right?
Yes.
So what you're saying is that a public institution is going to have some kind of policy that says, of the money we spend every year, only X percent, 5, 8, if I recall Rich Levy saying 10% at Salem State University, some percentage of that can go to paying debt. And so we're not going to build things and we're not going to borrow things that are going to be more than that.
Correct.
Okay.
Because that would put too much of a burden on students and reduce flexibility over time.
So you are both, you know, clear-eyed and understandably chill in your role about this. This is, in fact, concerning. Yes or no?
Yes. I mean, anything that impacts the cost to students is concerning. And I was also pleased to have him bring up the Fair Share amendment that recently
passed. Question one that just passed.
We certainly see that as an avenue, depending on what the legislature and the new administration might do, to direct funding to the campuses to, in fact, be able to positively impact increases in student fees.
All right. I feel like we've got a sense of this now, and I think I hear you saying that question one might change this picture in the future.
We hope so. Best. Thank you.
All right. Dale Hamill is Executive Vice President of the Division of Administration, Finance, and Information Technology at Framingham State. Have a good rest of the academic year.
Thank you.